I'm Andrew, Scott's asleep, and Steve's playing on his phone.
Hey!
This is Week for Geek Speak. Scott has gone into a coma and he's going to live in my house for the rest of his life, he's decided.
We're going to live around him.
Hashtag life goals.
There you go.
Well, he's just going to periodically lean up and shout that every few days.
Works for me.
Welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. We're a weekly geek podcast. We bring you geeky gossip. Geeky goss.
Ooh, geek goss.
Geek goss every week. Geek dross, more like.
Well.
Come on.
I'm trying.
Come here.
He's awoken. Oh, shit.
He's here. He's there.
We've arrived.
Nice, is it?
You can find us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher and Podcastland. If you enjoy us, please subscribe, review and rate on there. And you can also find us on Twitter at Weekly Geek Speak, Facebook.com/Weekly Geek Speak, Instagram Weekly Geek Speak, and the home of all things Weekly Geek Speak is WeeklyGeekSpeak.com. Weekly Geek Speak has been said about 17 times in this minute.
It's very apt there.
Weekly Geek
Speak.
There you go.
Hey!
Who's on the phone now?
Oh, on his phone.
Live by the sword, die by the same bloody sword.
God damn it.
So,
how we
doing?
Oh, okay, I'm having a nice nap. I got rudely interrupted, but I'm okay.
Cool. Well, as we have done previous weeks, every other show, we start the podcast with the listeners' questions.
Oh, it's your questions.
And it's your turn.
So we threw it out this morning a few hours ago, actually, and we got three questions.
Oh, nice. Go on then.
We'll start with at Wilbro Jr. 36. That's Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hi.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Do you think the DC Cinematic Universe will get better? Now, let's be honest. Man of Steel had people love it and hate it. Batman vs Superman was a little ropey. People complain about Suicide Squad, and I'm not sure why.
No, I really enjoyed it.
I've seen it now.
Are we going to review?
Yeah.
We'll do a spoilerific review next time we record, because that gives enough time.
I'm pretty sure most people are going to see it.
I think we should give it a little more, just for those people who have been busy
stragglers.
And working. Stragglers, as I like to call them. I watched it. I enjoyed it. It's quite music video-y. I see that. I thought Will Smith was very good in it. Mm. Yes, he might not be the Deadshot from the comics, but he brought something to the role, which is good. I thought Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn was spot on.
Mm. Yeah,
brilliant.
I just loved seeing some of those characters on screen.
Yeah, brilliant.
Killer Croc and things. I do kind of see, it felt like it wanted to do more,
yeah,
but was a little scared too. Because, and I do think, I know we've argued about the reshoots and things, but you could kind of tell there was that sense of trepidance about some of the things it did. Mm. I think the event that happens, which we'll talk more about in a couple of weeks, the event that happens is a little too big to be necessary, but that's nitpicking. And the pacing's a bit weird. It kind of zips you into it, and then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then again, once you accept that, that's fine. It is probably one of the... And I said this about something else before this year. I can't remember which film it was, but this really felt like one of the new 52 graphic novels that you just opened up. It plays like that, because some of the scenes are so short, and, it is like you're turning pages, and I liked that for it.
It was fun, which is a big criticism levied at these DC films. And it was so unapologetic about its characters, its source material, and some of the wacky side shit it was dealing with. Which is another criticism of DC. Aren't they trying to be too ultra-realistic? Why can't they just embrace the... Well, and there's a film that did, wholeheartedly, for all its wacky weirdness.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, oh, but I don't know who Kitana is. Like, well...
I kind of like the way she just strolled into it, though.
Yeah, same. Like, so nice. You've got room for him to grow and breathe in sequels or spin-offs, but,
yeah.
we as DC fans, we know about that story.
Basically,
it's just cool to fucking see it.
It's great for a DC fan, and hopefully the DC Cinematic Universe, to get back to Dave's question, will now do it the other way around. Whereas Marvel built it slowly, brick by brick, now perhaps we're getting shoved the building and we're going to deconstruct the building.
Well,
I like, yeah.
Maybe.
But yeah. Also,
if it's given the chance to.
Also, I genuinely think, and I know this is controversial, but listen to my actual words, I think the DC Cinematic Universe is better than Marvel's Phase 1, if you ignore Iron Man.
Mm.
But it's got catching up to do, so they're constantly compared, but they're at different stages.
But maybe it's maybe so, it's like that they're doing it the other way around. They're saying, here's the world, there's everything, that's the world.
Yeah.
Now let's pull it apart. Instead of building the world, it's deconstructing the world.
I think, yeah, I think
it's after a theory.
Yeah. No.
We've got Wonder Woman, Justice League, and Batman coming, and Flash. They're your next four. I think, I think by Batman, it'll either be scrap it or we're off to races. There'll be no middle, there'll not middle through 10 films.
I think it will always have the curse that people won't like it now. I think that's established. I think that Justice League is doomed, personally. I think now, because everyone's made their opinion, rightly so, on the back of Batman vs. Superman, I think the press won't give it a chance. No. I think that's the hardest battle to win. I think Wonder Woman will do a good job. I think there are a lot of the other things.
I think critics have made up their mind about the whole thing. I think there's a bit of superhero fatigue. There's a bit, oh, it's different and not as fun, and we watch too many of these.
Yeah, like we said the other week.
But not everything's for everyone. And Warner Brothers aren't making this to appease fucking Johnny Telegraph and Billy New York Times.
Exactly.
They're doing it because we DC fans that want these characters on film. And Suicide Squad was a step in the right direction. It embraced the sort of tone and weirdness of Batman Superman, and it just went, but let's make it more fun.
Yeah.
Let's pack it more. People forget, like, this is a studio reluctant to not go past Superman and Batman. It's an entire superhero history, apart from the odd, like, Green Lantern dud. And they did a Suicide Squad film, which, let's we not forget, is a C-list comic book property made up of D-list characters that's obviously been reinvigorated by the New 52 and included Harley Quinn.
Mm.
And they turned that into a film, and a highly successful
film. It is, that's what I was going to say. The week before, it was a week of critics going, it's shit, it's not going to do anything. I think the box office figures and the cash it's made speak for itself.
And the audience scores.
The audience scores good. Are just, yeah.
And I honestly, I know it divides people. Not everyone's a Superman fan for a start, so like, which makes all the conversation a bit richer, because it's like, well, I don't even like Superman, but okay, so why are you watching it and having an opinion?
Mm.
Not that you shouldn't, but like, so you're accepting its character not entirely for you, but you have strong opinions on it should be done, but you don't like
it. You don't like it.
But I do, and I really enjoy this.
Yeah.
I think Man of Steel is strong. I think the only dud that's like created this narrative is Batman Superman was incoherent and slightly underwhelming.
Mm.
But that's it. And then everyone's made the mind that all three are like that, and I don't agree.
I think that if there's any issue with Suicide Squad, it is very fan-servicey, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
Nope.
And not to be
that guy, but that's something people wank over Marvel for.
Mm.
So if we're going to attack DC with that same brush, I'm going to call bullshit.
I think for my view, I think it's got a tough road.
Yes.
But I think it can. It's just got some tough times ahead.
I think Wonder Woman, if it's cohesive and straightforward and shows her as badass as she can be, I think that sort of goodwill of a strong female character at last headlining film will bring it some weird goodwill compared to the others.
Mm.
And I think that might help turn a corner narrative-wise in terms of
yeah.
the big internet narrative. The amount of articles I've seen, like, why Suicide Squad failed, and then you go in the comments and everyone's disagreeing that it's a failure, and then it's like done 600 million.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, why is it a failure? Oh, there's some the critics though.
I think
like
a
it.
Lot of people, most people I've seen on my Twitter, and then a lot of them were very down on Batman vs Superman. Most people have actually said, yeah, it's all right.
It's pretty good. Coming out at sevens across the board. Yeah. Yeah,
and people, I'm not accusing people of this way of thinking, but not every comic book film needs to be this landmark fucking vision. a 7 out of 10 enjoyable comic book film that's slightly different in tone with new characters. That's
with,
good.
With characters we've Marvel, never seen on screen.
That's what Marvel created a fucking universe on.
Exactly.
Interesting, I mentioned this question to you earlier, Stephen. You said you don't think it will get better.
I don't know. I'm worried. Purely because, based on the fact that we have, it's hit the ground with a big, and critics have decided to hate it, and that's the kind of tone it's gone. And like we've said, Suicide Squad, fans are loving it, and the reviews, but it's this weird critics thing that everyone holds up, and it's that...
But what do you consider success, would be my question.
I would say success is box office and people are giving it good reviews, which they are, but what I think is that they're unsure now, because of the backlash of Batman Superman. Yes, it's all based on it all hinged on that one film, but because of that, even there, like when we bring the news, they're changing their schedules. They've knocked a film that was going to be two into one. But they're switching around.
They did all
up.
That.
They're not. They laid out this big slate and went, okay, we're laying our cards on the table. This is what we're doing. We're creating this big universe. Great. Really excited. I'm excited to see them, but I think it's a difficult road to travel because Marvel have built this world.
The press have decided.
So they've laid their plan out, and then they're changing their plan. They're like, wow, they're changing it because Batman Superman was shit, so they're not releasing that film anymore. Ah, they're mixing it up. So whatever they do, it's really, really difficult. I think it's a tough thing.
When you make decisions reactively and not proactively, you'll always come under criticism. Mm. But, and I think they did that with Batman Superman. It's very clear there was a course direction. That Justice League snapshot from Comic-Con, the way certain films disappeared or merged in development, the quote-unquote Suicide Squad reshoots where I still think it's been blown out of proportion. So on. I know for a fact they will, of course, change that Batman Superman. Because but it weren't just because of critics, it was because you've put a character that was previously won $1 billion and the other most iconic hero in the world together, and they didn't hit $1 billion. Yeah. They'll have been good.
Mm.
Suicide Squad, I bet they've lost no sleep over it and they're counting the money because audiences...
It was incredible.
A middle to warm, at least, if not better than that.
Mm.
And then they've earned $600 million on the wild card, chuck it out there one. And it's... They'll lose no sleep over that.
No.
The only down to the entire story of this, stopping it from being like, that's a successful story of the year, Deadpool, is... Oh yeah, critics weren't that bothered.
Yeah,
Joy, that's the only part of the narrative that makes everyone go, "Oh, is he a problem?"
But that's it. The problem is you can say what you like about the press, and you shouldn't pay attention. The fact is, people do. People
that's
form
the problem.
Their
this
opinion
the
on
issue.
It. I've heard people go, "I'm not seeing that because I've seen it's rubbish."
Who
make your own
rubbish?
Decision. If you like comic book movies, go see it. If you don't like comic book movies and the press says it's rubbish, it probably isn't for you. Anyway, we're going to move this on now. Pitt Mason at Housebroken Geek has asked us, with the overall response to the Killing Joke movie, what Batman story should they have done with the same cast? Now, I thought this was a good one for Scott. I just want to throw in, I don't care who's casting it, I'd love to see Hush brought to TV.
There's so much
going on. It's
that'd be good, because it's got that core mystery and you can showcase every villain. The one I've always wanted is The Long Halloween. Because it's a great sort of detective story and it's really dense. And again, it's got every character. Any Jeff Lowe story, he seems to just pile
everyone in.
but in a really cool, organic, weird way. And it's one of my favourite Batman books. And I think it's got, like with most of these adaptations, like... the comic story, they keep the kernel of it and create a new film around it because the story can't support films. It's written for graphic novels mainly. This one, the graphic novels, the story is that dense. I think it translates to like a really long 2-part film probably, especially if you take some Dark Victory, which is its direct sequel, into it as well. So I'd like that. I want that to be their next big one. Or Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
And make it fucked up.
That was very dark. It was very. And who wrote that one?
Grant Morrison.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
And finally, listeners' questions are from HOM Movie Podcast at HOM Podcast. Which character from Toy Story do each of your co-hosts most match in personality? Now, instead of deciding yourself, I'm going to say so. Scott first. Actually, we'll go Steve first. Put him on the spot. Who's Scott most like? Who am I most like?
Oh, God.
There's only one right answer.
Don't give it him.
Andrew's Woody and you're Jesse.
Yep.
Cool, baby.
I personally see myself more of a Woody than a Buzz. Woody's the more like...
You're thinking you're a central character?
Yeah. Because I am. Aren't we all central characters?
Also, isn't it funny? I said, we're going to decide for each other and Scott's deciding for himself.
Aren't we all central characters of our own narrative?
Are you not the...
He's like the... I guess fucking Spud then. Whatever's a sarcastic, hateful being. I wanted to be the shark out of the chest who wears his hat going, howdy, 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 howdy.
Yeah.
And probably that pathetic fucking penguin from second one, Wheezy.
Oh, he's cool.
You're someone better. He's cool, like Scott.
You're cool. Bit Wheezy.
You're the angry pink teddy.
Everything's fine here.
Steve's big baby.
Big baby, oh god.
Steve's one of those abominations from Sid's.
The baby head with spider legs.
He's actually lovely, but when he comes running over to you.
Oh fuck, Jesse!
Oh,
yes!
Steve's definitely got a bit of T-Rex of him. Just because he walks around with his hands up here.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Andrew's that Etch a Sketch. I don't know why. Yeah. Question answered. I have a question.
So Wheezy and Abomination.
This was doing the rounds on like Facebook, and I thought it was quite a good question, so I wanted to seal it for this podcast. But we're all, you know, geeks and we consume popular culture.
Right.
And then there's a way of like a consensus creating like an idea of certain films and things.
Mm.
So what opinions do you have that are controversial and or just fly in the face of what the public perception? For instance, I'll start us going.
Go on.
I think Amazing Spider-Man is better than all three Sam Raimi films. Although I accept arguments for Spider-Man 2 and no judgment here. It's my personal favourite one.
Okay.
But that's a controversial opinion. I know. Also, I like Man of Steel. That's a very controversial bit.
Yeah.
But what?
It's good. I feel I've got some good answers, but I can't.
Do you like a Star Wars prequel? That would be shocking.
Oh, God, no. Well, my big controversial one was that I never liked Jurassic Park. That was always my go-to.
Yeah,
now I've seen it and I love it. And it was years and years later I went
to it. I've got another one.
So that's... But...
My favourite Star
Trek film. I don't like
Lord
of the Rings.
Oh, that's fun.
Not a big fan.
My favourite Star Trek film is the rebooted one with J.J. Abrams.
Oh.
Narrowly beats Wrath of Khan. But still, I feel like that might be controversial. Mm.
Yeah.
I think Son actually... Here's a controversial opinion, because you both loved it.
And I didn't.
Oh.
And it's not a decommender I recommend, but I'll talk about it now, because it has been recommended.
It's Pitch Perfect 2, we've had this
on. We have. It's not as good as the first one.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Okay.
Oh.
I thought there were some good performances from...
John Goodman,
that's a name that's on the tip of my tongue. Mary Elizabeth Winstead does a good job.
The third guy who no one ever remembers.
No, yeah. I just feel... Call me a cynic.
Go on.
But they went, here's a good film, we've written this great script and everything, we've been making the film, and then JJ steps in and goes...
Cloverfield?
Maybe we could call it Cloverfield.
Yeah.
It's not really related to... No, and we just throw the house sign down and it will sell more tickets. If this... Because this film was originally called The Cellar, that was its code name. I think this film was always going to be called The Cellar and they just made it. I also didn't like the end.
Maybe, but I'm a bit less cynical than that. I feel like he wants to create this, like, Cloverfield-like set of vignette Twilight stories that link sort of happenstantially in fan theories.
Yeah, but it didn't feel that way. I don't know.
No,
it didn't.
And I definitely think it like takes a jump at the end where that's what I went to see, but by the time I got it, I actually wanted the different film it presented.
Mm.
But up until then, I thought it was quite a solid, watchable film.
It also feels like it's kiboshed any chance for a good, proper Cloverfield sequel. If it's going, now I'm going to have an anthology of weird things that happen stories, because I fancied it, instead of working on a good Cloverfield sequel.
agree.
It's a good enough film.
It's tense and it's claustrophobic.
I just think I lost all intensity in that end. It was really good until...
It is a weird end and it's one that I still mull over. It's a great film.
It just felt like an M. Night Shyamalan film.
It does
a stupid twist that you knew was coming anyway. But
yeah,
it felt like we wouldn't accept that from M. Night Shyamalan, but for some reason everyone's accepting it here.
I can see that. It's
a weird sense of twist though, isn't it? Because it's like, it almost sells the fact that will happen by calling it Cloverfield. And we go in hoping that happens. And then we forget we want that, and then it provides it at the end. So that's what I mean. I almost didn't want it by the time it came, or I wanted it a bit earlier, because by then I were enjoying a separate film, and then I don't think they link as well as I feel they should have. So I agree we ended points in a broad sense. But I did think the first four-fifths of it, or whatever...
Yeah.
Were really solid.
Really well done.
I mean, it's only a seven.
I mean, John Goodman is ace. Just see, John Goodman is brilliant. I'm glad that he's sort of made a bit of a resurgence and he's doing stuff like this. And like Red State, I mean, people not a fan of Red State, but in that he's a really good,
strong character. Watching Room, which is a very similar subject matter in terms of being trapped in a bunker, they did it a lot better. And in this one, it felt a bit more flowery. Still a great film, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Not a great film. It is. It would be a 7. A few things have knocked it down for it to a 6 for me. We watch so many of these films that this kind of stuff happens, and we go, that's rubbish. But for some reason, this one's been accepted because it's got Cloverfield in the title. I don't know. It's really not that for me.
The fact it's called Cloverfield made me watch it sooner than I might have, but...
I'm just cynical. I think someone decided to sell this movie a bit better. We'll stick Cloverfield in the title.
I don't know. It's possible,
it probably did boost it because people were intrigued, and most people seem happy, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't. But yeah, that's my controversial opinion.
That is quite controversial. Nice. Do you have one, Steve?
I don't really think I do. I don't know.
Everyone's got one. I've just said, or what Andrews has said, there'll be at least a few people that is different to mine, I'm going to write it. But, like, you've got one. Whoever's listening, I know for a fact you have one. Even if you don't think of it or know it right now, you'll have one.
Like I said, I'm not a big Lord of the Rings fan. I saw them.
I hate Harry Potter.
They were ace at the time, and I've seen them tick, but I'm not going back to them. I don't want to watch The Hobbit or any of the other ones because I can't be bothered. There's a big list of films out there that I've never seen. I don't want to watch any more of that.
I think we're all sitting on this.
It used to be my go-to for years. It was, I don't like Jurassic Park. People go, what?
Because especially in today's internet age of people.
Reactionary kind of.
Everyone likes to attack people for their opinions.
Yeah.
These sort of things kind of go quiet sometimes. Maybe not on our show, because we're quite open-minded and just say how we feel. So people know half the things I've just said. But, like, in the internet at large, people keep certain things quiet. I want to know.
I hate E.T. He's a horrendous, long-fingered, molesting bastard. Yes! Short-legged cunt. I hate him. Horrible.
There you go.
I'll design a nice kid character. What about this little scrotum alien thing, which just is obnoxious and tells you to phone home? Basically tells you to piss. I hate him. I hate
them. There you go. Andrew does not like E.T. We learned that just now.
I can make your bike jump. Good.
I got one that I got. Not one I got told off for the other day. I watched 2 seasons of Parks and Rec and didn't get on with it. Gave up on it. And my people were going, what?
But this is the weird thing, right?
How do you not like Parks and Rec? So I got, that's a controversial one.
At some point in time, humanity decided that everyone must be in agreement on bits of entertainment specifically designed for niche audiences.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you don't like this thing I like? You should.
What?
You're supposed to. You're the same demographic as me. It's like, we're all individuals. We find, there's so much entertainment in the world. We find our own things. If you don't like it, do not support it and watch it.
Yes. I think you can, I hate it when, if somebody says, that's shit, and they can't back it up with an argument.
That annoys. That's I hear when they say it in the first place, because that shit is not a fact.
I don't like.
It's an aggressive opinion.
If you said I don't like this, it's shit, and I went, why is it shit? And then you argued it.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with you calling it shit.
Yeah.
If it's shit in your mind, it's when you go shit. Mm. Well, oh, why is it shit? It's shit.
It's just shit.
It's just shit.
It's just definitely shit.
I don't like The Simpsons. Never really have done.
Is it shit?
It's shit. No, it's just
to a lad
I don't
over there.
Find it that funny, and I don't. The newer ones, especially, are just terrible. They're just all over the place. It's almost like it's become Family Guy, where it's just the story chops and changes the narrative. Sorry. Simpsons.
Recent Simpsons. I think everyone
it's just
agrees.
Weird. But even the older one, I never really enjoyed it.
You never liked Simpsons.
I used to watch it because
that's controversial.
I never had Sky. My friend had Sky. I used to go around and watch it. It was a big deal. And then I've just watched it because it's been on, but I've never really gone, oh, Simpsons is on, I've got to sit down and watch the Simpsons. Shocking. I love Simpsons. Do you know that episode? It's never really bothered me.
Wacky dude the other day came up to me and like, oh, I've just watched that David Brent movie, it's fucking awful. I went, alright, did you like The Office? No, I fucking hated it.
Why did you?
What?
That's what I mean. No, but this is exactly the point I'm making. What? You know you do not like The Office.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Why does he go out to watch The Office spin-off film with Ricky Gervais? It's clearly not aimed at him. Avoid it. But people like gun head first for things
you don't even bother about. I want to see Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie.
No. There's so many films that are on where I go, that's not really for me, I'm not that bothered. Yeah. So I just don't watch them. And when I do, I just go... I could get angry, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to watch it again.
Not its key audience.
It's shit.
Next week, we'll be reviewing a new round of Decommend. But yeah, let us know your controversial opinions. Let us know what Batman graphic novel you would like to see actualised with that cast from The Killing Joke. Mm. And what Toy Story character you. Thank you, HOM Podcast. Thank you, Pip. And thank you, Dave.
Hello, Dave. And hashtag AskWGS if you want to ask us anything. Sat on the bus, tweet in, let us.
You've got to be sat on the bus.
Yeah, if you're not sat on a bus, we will accept your questions because we can't really please it.
We'll photographic proof that you're on the bus hashtag AskWGS. No, we don't.
No, we don't want to give them more homework. It may be reluctant to give us as many questions.
This is like we were laughing and we were walking. We were having a walk the other day, and then Steve killed us with, you know, a Steve line?
Yeah.
So, Steve just went, I don't know how it got onto underpants in trees, because James
has been complaining about his pants being
his uncomfortable.
His
pants, so he said, I might just take him off and fling him in a tree. And Steve just went, that's how they get there. Like, there are pants and trees everywhere. I loved it. It's such a Steve-ism.
That's how they get there.
With that
being one uncomfortable pants. How many pants do you see in trees, Steve?
And that weird sense of wonder, like
it's the pants tree.
Why do they judge you?
I don't know. Everyone's a judgy little judge face, aren't they?
Judgy McJudgersons. They don't have to judge anyone when it's time for the news.
Oh, he's getting better, actually.
It's time for the news. It's my turn. Okay. It's almost two decades since The Dude Abides in The Big Lebowski. Well, now we're getting a spin-off.
Since The Dude Abided?
Abided. I wrote Abided.
The Dude
said Abide. Abided.
I want to say Abode.
Abode.
Since the Dude Abode. Somewhere you live?
It's where you live because that's where you abide.
So you abode there.
I think it's abode.
It's your abode. Abood.
Wait, so since you abood.
Abood.
Since you abood.
Since you abood. Well, now we're getting a sequel. We're getting a spin-off, actually, with John Turturro. Who's going to reprise his role. John Turturro! As Jesus Quintana, the bowler. The movie titled Going Places will co-star Susan Sarandon, Audrey Tautou and Bobby Cannavale. It was inspired by Bertrand Blier's 1974 film Les Valseuses. The Coen brothers are not attached, but it sounds pretty cool.
You don't mess with Jesus.
Don't mess with Jesus.
If the Coen brothers aren't attached, it does take away a large part of my personal intrigue. But he's a cool character for being like a weird character cameo. Comic.
Is it going to be based around bowling?
I think the plot is Susan Sarandon has just got out of prison. She's a lawyer who's just got out of prison. and she's gunning for it, and like Audrey Tautou's. I can't remember what it said.
I don't know. I might watch it out of curiosity, but again, like,
it's been nearly 20 years.
If the Coens went, "We want to revisit this and spin this off," I'd be all like, I mean, but then because they're not involved, I feel a bit like, and why is it him? Why does he have to be that character? What's this?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll watch it then.
I'm excited. Community creator Dan Harmon joined the Marvel writing team for Doctor Strange. The film wrapped initial production, but Harmon's been brought in to write some extra scenes for the movie. The film's released on November the 4th.
Oh, do you watch Rick and Morty?
Yes, I've seen bits of it.
I love it so much. Do you watch Rick and Morty?
It is good.
I think you'd love it.
You would love it. The few episodes I've seen.
It's Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland. I've always liked it. He's like, he's meta as fuck. He's that sort of tortured genius comedian. Yeah. That's the word.
And Harmon's podcast and the documentary, everything that goes surrounds him is just great.
Find him weirdly likeable. There's certain people you just follow what they do because you just like them, like Joss Whedon and Paul Dini, so on. He's in that list for me. So when I like, oh, he's contributed to Doctor Strange, that's even more reason like I needed it to see it.
They've brought him in to add some more.
But if it was a DC film,
rewrites,
more humour.
Obviously, they don't think it's very good.
It's finished production.
Doctor Strange is in trouble.
Whoa!
Oh dear! Cynicism.
Ooh! So I'm excited by that as well. I think I was excited anyway, but like you say, bringing him in to tweak some scenes and write extra bits. Yes, all over
people
it.
People always assume with these sort of things as well, like, oh, he's been brought in to like
sprinkle
some jokes. Well, he might not be.
He's just
gifted
a good
writer, man.
Well, they brought in the guy. I forgot their names now. The Russo brothers, who've just done comedy and TV shows, and they brought them in, and they did a fucking awesome job.
Action now. They're the best writers in the Marvel universe.
So I love that Marvel is just pulling in writers and giving people a chance to.
They're
do
very
things.
Good at
it's great.
Finding their directors. I thought that from very early stages that and the only time they stuck with one with Favreau, I quite liked it when they moved him on.
Yeah, really. I mean, like, Shane Black was a good go-to after Favreau as well, and then, like, Kenneth Branagh for Thor were a big kid.
That worked so well, yeah.
Joss Whedon did really well with that first Avengers. And then Russo's a hit, James Gunn. They're not fines, because they're out there in the names, but, like, they're not, you're like, oh, we'll get him.
They're not the auteur ones. They are good, consistent, that will work with the universe and bring their own thing to it, and
definitely.
I think that works.
No, it's great.
They've always done well with that. The only misfire was Thor 2.
With
Alan Taylor or whatever, and it like still,
no.
And it's shit.
Yeah. So excited. In a news world where remakes and reboots are left, right, and centre, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has said that Jumanji will not be a reboot or remake. It's a continuation of the awesome Jumanji story.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. The movie will also feature Kevin Hart and Jack Black. The 1995 movie ended with the game washed up on a beach, so I guess this is going to show us kind of where
wrong?
The story goes next, which I'm excited for.
I assumed it'd be a comedy, but is it wrong as soon as you mentioned two comedians or comedy actors, I went, oh, it sounds worse.
I think it's definitely going to go down the Goosebumpsy route, isn't it? I like the fact that, because I love the fact that, and I kind of, in a way, wanted, because it's one of the first films I saw at the cinema. I owned it. It's one of the five VHSs I owned when I was little. I loved it, and I like the idea that it would float around and someone else would find it. I love the ending to the film.
Yeah.
That boom, 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 boom.
Well, it's that sort of mystical object causing havoc in different people's lives through generations.
It's really odd to have those guys in it.
It
is quite a big thing. But I
always thought that with a mask. I love the mask, but the huge part of its conceit is this fucking mask with like the power of like Loki is just hanging around the world. Why haven't I seen more films where it's like just turning up at Dwayne Johnson's house?
Hey, you wait, news in a few weeks.
Yeah, honestly, I just don't get. You could make like you could even do like dark as fuck ones more akin to the comic.
Definitely,
books,
I would
go back
well
to Jim Carrey-esque ones.
Yeah.
I know they did Son of Mask, and
I didn't even bother with that.
With Jumanji though, it's weird because Jumanji has that kind of sentimental late 80s, early 90s kind of kids find a thing feel.
Mm.
We've seen a resurgence of that with Stranger Things,
definitely,
which kind of makes me think, oh, it'd be a shame if we didn't do that again, but they've obviously gone down the route of using the property to make some kind of
wacky comedy adventure. The people inspired by those sort of films end up being the creators, and then they go, do you know what, I've not seen this that I used to love as a kid, and then it just circles, doesn't it? So you'll get it every 20 or 30 years, isn't it?
That's it. And I mean, he said in the rest of the interview, he did say that, you know, Jumanji is a property that everyone loved, and Robin Williams, you can't touch it. So why try and remake something that's already brilliant? We just want to carry on this
and
story.
And it's
not something
that cries to be remade, because the entire conceit is there's this game that comes out of nowhere, forever. It's fucking shit. Yeah. Like, it lends itself to just fucking, all right.
It's more of a drama, kids' action drama. The thing that what was really sad about that film is Robin Williams' character, the little boy, disappears.
Has no childhood, loses all his family.
20 years, yeah. And then comes back, and it's like,
but it's
horrible.
Robin Williams, so it's fine.
Yeah. With the huge success of Preacher under their belt, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg have another TV show in production that's been picked up by FX. Sonny Lee, the writer for It's Always Sunny and Two Broke Girls and Silicon Valley, pitched his creation, which is similar in tone to the pair's sort of the end. This Is the End movie. Their show Singularity has been picked up for a pilot episode. Mm-hmm. It's going to be set in the future where the AI surpasses human intelligence, resulting in profound changes to society. I'm definitely in. I'm on board.
I like I like that little through line, but I mean, you know, I am surprised. I don't know. They really nail Preacher in a way I really didn't expect. I know they directed and wrote a lot of it and stuff, and they obviously produced it. I don't know how involved they've been, necessarily. Whether, like, I don't want them to split their focus too much, if you know what I mean, or if they can quite easily. But they proved themselves a bit with that, so I'd probably give them another spin on something different that I'm not as familiar with, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's a new creation, new idea. Sounds good. Like you say, they proved themselves that they're not just wacky fart jokes and stoner gags. And
but again, though,
kind of,
but Preacher
has done something
has
completely different.
It's still comedic. It's just a more dark, twisted
humour. But
that's
humor. It. I
mean, so this might have that again. Like, I don't think they'd ever create something devoid of comedy.
No, it would have to have some humour running through it, definitely.
But I do think you need a bit of that to make it palatable and interesting in most things.
Definitely. Definitely. The Harry Potter original movie franchise may have ended. Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson continuing their rise in Hollywood. But after Harry Potter, things sort of died down a bit for Rupert Grint.
Underpants?
Oh.
That was before, wasn't
that
it?
That was before, yeah. Driving school.
Driving Miss Daisy.
No, driving school. Driving lessons.
Bring, Thunderpants back.
I've seen it. I enjoyed it, but I forgot what it's called.
Was that with Julie Walters,
yeah. It was just a really sweet, nice film. But yeah, recent news is the actor will star in a TV series from Crackle called Snatch. It's going to be based on the 2000 Guy Ritchie movie featuring Brad Pitt and Jason Statham. Grint's going to play Charlie Cavendish, who's described as dynamic, frustratingly chaotic and utterly posh. He'll star alongside Doug Ray Scott, Ed Westwick, who was in Gossip Girl. Production begins in Manchester this week for the 10-episode series, but Snatch was actually inspired by a real-life heist in London, so it's...
I've never liked Rupert Grint. Maybe that's harsh, because he was a child.
Controversial.
Acting as an annoying child in a property I always found annoying in general. But I always really thought he was the worst part of that entire franchise.
I preferred him to Harry Potter.
It was supposed to be like, oh, what an endearing, sweet comic relief friend. And I'm like, no, he's fucking irritating. He's dead weight. He does nothing.
He just does that horrible reaction.
Ew, I'm so scared of spiders. Shit like that all the time. I don't give a shit. Just die. Sure he's matured as a person.
Be interesting to see him
maybe
do.
Maybe
some...
he'd be great, but
there's so many times I've gone back to Harry Potter and thought, right now I need to sit down and give it. I rarely last 15 minutes.
No, if it needs to be robbed of all Weasleys to make it palatable.
But then Hermione's annoying as well.
Yeah,
Harry just walks around as a blank character that things happen around
him. Do you know what? He really does. I've seen all Harry Potters twice.
He's very passive.
They get better, but he doesn't. His emotional range doesn't change throughout the film. And yet, all the stuff he's gone on to do, he's fucking brilliant. He's pulled all this talent out, and he's amazing.
I know it's a good
Harry Potter. If you just based it on him,
work with that character. Work with that character. What's he do? He does events happen around Harry Potter.
Yeah.
He just walks through. And the story evolves around him, and he just carries on walking and carries on walking.
And I can't believe in a villain who likes to set up each little mini scheme over. He plans it over the event of an entire school term and year on purpose.
This time I'm a snake!
Oh, Harry's in what year? Year 8? Oh, it's time for me to. Come on, he doesn't take you a year. He's a kid, fuck him up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least make him not pass.
Yeah.
Let him focus that much, so he fails. That's the least you can do.
And then he's gone, isn't he? Yeah.
That'd be my first thing. If I was feuding with a kid at school, I'd have him fucking fail and suspended, kicked out. It's the first thing you'd do, plan number one. Do you know what I mean? It's not hard.
No. 7 movies it took him.
Oh, what a dick. What a dick.
How good if Harry's in his little thing under the stairs. And then they open the door and it's Voldemort and just snaps his neck and that finishes it.
Yeah, and he went, what? I had to get him at some point.
Yeah. Like, why not when before he's even realised he's a wizard?
You're all muggles, aren't you? Dude?
No.
But yeah, good on you, Ron.
I'm interested.
Yeah, well, I don't begrudge him a career. I'm just not a fan myself.
Something I might watch. Staying with movie to TV show adaptations, Joel Schumacher's 1987 cult classic Lost Boys is coming to the CW. Vampire Diaries has ended after 8 seasons, so they've obviously needed some more vampire action. The series is going to be helmed by Rob Thomas, who did iZombie and Veronica Mars. Huge plans are afoot for as many as 7 seasons, and each one will cover a decade of a story. Season 1's going to start in 1967, the Summer of Love in San Francisco. And every season, the humans, the story, the setting, the antagonist will change, but the vampires will remain the constant throughout the series.
There's probably room on, Saturday mornings where they're not showing a DC show on CW. Like, it can probably fit in quite nice.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe they can bridge it and link them all.
Yeah. I don't see why it needs to be based on Lost Boys. That sounds nothing like it.
But again, it's that cynical.
It's a nice idea.
You can make a nice vampire show.
Yeah.
But if you call it Lost Boys, you've got an instant name recognition.
Yeah. 10 Cloverfield Lane.
It does help.
It does. With Thor Ragnarok currently filming in Australia, the third movie sees a return for Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston. Until now, there's been no word of Jane, played by Natalie Portman. Portman was rumoured to be unhappy about returning to Thor the Dark World, even though she enjoyed it. She just sort of reprised the role because she had to. She was told, Wall Street Journal, as far as I know, I'm done with it. Although to note, I know maybe one day they'll ask for an Avengers 7 and I'll be back, or whatever. I've no idea, but as far as I know, I'm kind of, that's it. That's me done.
What I liked about her character in the first 4 film was, as opposed to most other romantic interests, it seemed like she more just fucking wanted a piece. She just lusted more than anything. And I kind of liked that as a different spin. Like, rather than, oh, you're so heroic, I love you, she was kind of like, oh, what?
My name has a TH in front of it.
And then in the second one, it got more like, yeah, whatever. I don't need her.
Nah.
I personally want my 4 films to be him jumping between realms, shit going wrong, seeing different worlds.
She served, it sounds bad, but it kind of served the purpose of that film.
To tie him to Earth and give him vested interest.
Great job of that.
But, and I don't want her not around, because then she becomes conspicuous by her absence, but I don't really want her as a big part ever. Because I don't really want him back on Earth unless he's in the Avengers, to be honest.
That's what she's saying, that's what she's alluding to. Unless they do another Avengers in...
I kind of don't want to see her until, 4-4. Where, he's just decided, fuck it, I'll live on Earth, and then it's his big ending before we, move on to other characters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not bothered.
Yeah. With DC's Suicide Squad being a huge box office success despite critics' reviews, it's inspiring Warner Brothers to revisit one of their similar projects, Justice League Dark, a non-team of loosely connected supernatural characters bonding together to defeat magical threats. Characters include John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Deadman, Zatanna, and Etrigan the Demon. Director Doug Liman, The Edge of Tomorrow, has left the Gambit movie and is currently in talks to direct Dark Universe.
So there was something thrown about that Enchantress would be linked to this.
Right.
The return of Enchantress. Who I thought wasn't too bad in that.
Yeah.
Well, they've introduced magic, and I always loved this idea, because Del Toro was attached for
yes.
a long time.
Yeah, he was.
But just think about it. You've got Constantine, who, like, strong enough to support his own series. You got all these characters individually could have their own cool little weird film. Mm. But chuck them together and you've got this hodgepodge monster squad.
Yeah.
Mm.
Superhero film akin to Suicide Squad, which is clearly done very well.
Mm.
That it's different and it's weird and it's interesting and we've not seen it yet. And again, I think that's the aim of the game. Like, the superhero films, yeah, the market's becoming really, like, packed and some are becoming a bit stagnant and critics are getting fed up. Make them fresh, interesting, and different. So rather than, oh, here's fucking Cyborg 2 and fucking Superman 8, like, yeah, give me Justice League Dark, where there's a plant, a sentient plant monster.
That's it.
And
a
guy who possesses people and fucking a magic detective.
I'm intrigued by somebody called Deadman. I mean, what does Deadman
he's
do?
He's Boston brand. He's basically just a dead person and he possesses people.
Sweet. I'm sold. Well, the thing was, it came out at Comic-Con that they were going to do this, and they were going to do it as an animated one, and all the fans went, What? The Del Toro one, years ago you mentioned a live-action one. And then recently this has come out that, okay, yeah, we are
Zatanna.
Working on the live-action one now, because...
I love Zatanna.
Like, wizard, the magician's assistant.
Yeah.
She's got potential to be, like, Harley Quinn levels of, like, oh, that's the cool character, the hip cool character from it, so...
Cool.
But yeah, I'm all kinds are in for that.
We're in. It's just a shame that Gambit's being sort of shelved again.
Yeah, but hey. That stinks, and it stunk from the beginning and all the way through, of they're just trying to force it.
Mm. Yeah.
And they can't find where it fits. They can't quite get Channing Tatum tied down. They don't know who's directing it. They don't know when they release. Don't do it.
No, leave it.
Incorporate him into your next X-Men film, done. And then if that does well, maybe you can spin it off.
Well, with an October 2017 release slated, the sci-fi sequel to Blade Runner is picking up steam. The movie's going to take place several decades after the original, but all else is closely guarded secret. The film's going to star Harrison Ford, Ryan Gosling, Dave Bautista, and reports of Jared Leto now joining the cast. And there's a few really cool storyboard photos of the world that they're going to create online that look brilliant. So, never seen Blade Runner. There's another controversial one.
Well,
it's not an opinion, but it's a. I've never
I'd
seen
say
it.
Not liking it would be more controversial. But then, it's a very weird film, Blade Runner.
Mm.
It's incredibly weird.
Does it warrant a sequel?
No.
Okay.
But then there's 82 cuts of it, so it's,
yeah.
I don't find it that precious either. Because
which one are they doing a sequel to then?
Yeah, exactly. No, but that really does matter, because some of the endings change and all that.
Right. Okay.
Especially if it's a direct Henry Descartes, but if they're just using the world and imagery, well, that's strong. That's incredibly strong, so you could. But if it's a Henry Descartes direct continuation of narrative, then no, I don't think it does.
The world is very, very well done. It's definitely got a feel to it. I think the feel of Blade Runner is stronger than the story of Blade Runner.
It is, yeah.
Opinion. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see the world again. I'm not that precious of it. I know lots of people are. It's lots of people's sci-fi movie. It isn't mine. I enjoyed it, but I'm sure this story cropped up.
It does. It keeps popping.
I just always think it's done well because it's almost a bit anime-ish. Because it's like
definitely. It's like the early '90s anime.
Yeah, it's just that sort of weird, cool dystopian future that's a bit Chinese American mixed, and then it's like a great world building, but in the middle it's just like this little neo-noir. It's just a noir story. So people get really precious of it, but I'm not really.
No,
I'm really not.
I'll watch it one day.
It's fine, isn't it? I think everyone should.
It's on my shelf. I bought it. I don't know which cut, but I bought
it. I can't even remember what cut. I know it's a light blue rib around the DVD. Right.
I think
you tell me which version I've got, people.
I think I bought the director's cut.
Yeah, I think mine might be.
Or just because I didn't know.
Final cut, I don't
know. So, yeah, it's coming out next year, we'll see. And finally, this one's my favourite. The Jim Henson Company have a new project currently under development under the Henson Alternative brand, which I didn't know. It's an alternative production and distribution
with the Muppets
company set
Muppets.
Up. Yeah, Muppets by Brian Henson, who decided, you know, we need something a bit darker, more mature, sort of cover more mature themes. It's called The Happy Time Murders, an irreverent puppet comedy playing on the classic detective noir genre. The script by Todd Berger and Bree Robertson. Jamie Foxx is in talks to play the detective. It's basically the Happy Time gang are the biggest celebrities around, but start to get mysteriously murdered.
Do you, in the late 80s, we had things like Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Mmm.
Do you think they'll ever make another serious fantasy with puppets?
It's a scientific fact, everything's better with puppets. Mm. I mean, that's just science. It can't be argued. So, they should, really.
They should, but...
It's funny you say science can't be argued. Science can be argued within science.
Oh, theories can be, like, disproved and so on, but the sort of how science is built is theories on top of theories providing a common understanding, isn't it? But over the years, we've proved of experimentation and just living, and just it's just apparent, isn't it? Everything's better with puppets. Blade Runner would
with
have
puppets.
Been significantly better with puppets. Come at me.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
I'm excited.
I think we'll just go with Scott's theory.
Yeah,
it's true though.
That this noir drama will be better because there's puppets there.
No, I think I defy you. Name one. Name some of the ones better.
That was the news.
Schindler's List.
What's the time, Mr. Steve?
It's time for This Week the Geeks Have Spoken.
Now, before we do this, now we're going to jump to a weird edited bit.
Ooh.
Where I come in and announce the winner of the Pokemon competition, because we can't quite do it just yet, because September's not quite finished. So here we are, we'll hand over to me. Thank you, me, from the past. It is me from the future, but not your future. My future, I am in the past, or the present. Well, not the present, the past. It's time for me to get away from this convoluted time stream and pick the winner of the Pokemon competition with minifigs.me, the fantastic minifigure producers, Sheffield-based company, and do absolutely brilliant work. We're excited to bring you another competition very soon with them. But they kindly said a few of these amazing Pokemon figures that they've been producing for Pokemon Go. We asked you to retweet the tweet, follow the podcast on Twitter at Weekly Geek Speak, and also tell us your favourite Pokemon. So if you managed to do those three things, you have now been entered into a random selector. So now I'm going to pull the proverbial fruit machine arm, spin the wheel, and see who has won this brilliant prize. And it's that Amy person. That Amy person answered us, retweeted us, followed us, and Amy Marshall's favourite. She couldn't pick a favourite, but if she had to, it would be Charmander. Congratulations, Amy. Please do get in touch with us, weeklygeekspeak@gmail.com. We will pass your details on, and we'll get those sent out to you. Thank you so much to everyone who joined in the competition. More competitions soon. Let's get back to Andrew from the past. Scott and Steve back in the room. Thank you. Well done, that guy.
Good work. Well done.
I had a feeling him or her was definitely...
Definitely a Twitter user.
Thank you for entering that competition. Remember, you still can enter the one from last week where... Steve read from a book while I was having a wee, and you've got to guess what the book is to win his Snot Girl comic.
I weren't sure if you knew about that yet.
Well, I edited it, yeah. It was an egg at the end. Good. So we'll see what happens.
See what happens with that.
And there will be another competition soon, I'm sure.
Cool beans. Yeah, thank you kindly for all your interactions. Retweets and
whatnot.
Did we
have a fanfare?
Yes.
Yeah. What was it?
It was lackluster, but we had a fanfare.
Hey,
shit, son.
Shade has been
throwing it down.
Thrown shade.
Half typing a text and went, oh, it's my bit.
I'm sorry if my fanfare was not good enough for you, Stephen.
Well,
I'll try and be better.
Thanks.
Fuck me.
Later. we ran two surveys. The first one, the at original Funko figures are a sort of geeky dream. You can pretty much get any TV show collection you want nowadays.
There's too many.
Everything.
There's too many to justify having one ever.
On podcast of controversial opinions, I hate the designs. I just don't like them. Like, there's the vinyl ones from Kabuki. Kabuki? Is that what they're called?
I don't know what you mean. It sounds really cool, right to me, but you've thrown a question mark.
Funkos, I just think, look, I don't like the little black soulless eyes of them. The ones that don't have eyes, I think are quite cute, but they just, I don't like them. That's just my controversy.
The problem is, I don't like the cute ones
If you get one, you have to get 87.
That's the problem.
It's a habit.
I have to resist.
Where are you putting them, and at what point does the lose the effect?
Well, this is the server chucked out. Because I wonder what you do with them. Do you just put them out, throw the box in the bin? Do you put them out but keep the boxes?
They're just a collection thing for collection's sake.
Yeah, or do you keep them in the box and just throw them box? So unboxed but keep the boxes, 38%. Boxed and sealed, 23%. And unboxed and you throw the box away because you're not asked, 39%.
I get why people would box them. I think I'd open them.
Yeah, I open them and throw the boxes away because I collect too much.
I can't say anything for Funko Pops, but my Deadpool is in his box and my Predator is out of his box, so I don't know what that means.
I'll have that Predator there.
It is cool.
You can have him if you
want. Again, it's got no eyes.
It's one of them. If I was a very rich man with a very big house,
yeah,
fuck it, I'd buy loads.
I would.
But like, I have neither of those.
Yeah.
I'm in neither of those privileged positions. So So no, can't.
Nah, Lord of the Tweets, Muthridge Caniv at M3JCMV says he keeps them boxed, but only because he's yet to acquire proper shelving. And he'd sent a picture of what he's got, tons in his career.
Really?
Loads, nice, yeah, yeah.
My mate's got like, he's got like 40 odd, and it's, he keeps just like, oh, I've just completed the Firefly set, oh, I've started on the Suicide Squad one, and now I'm doing this, and then it's like, I just went to him, when are you going to be done? And he's like, between you and me, I don't think I will be.
I've got five.
This is my life now.
I've got five. They're all from different things. I've got to stop. And I found out the other day they do Goonies ones, and I'm like, oh.
Really cool. I don't begrudge anyone. They're just not for me.
Muthridge also added, since listening to the latest episode, I've watched The Killing Joke and can definitely see all the issues that you guys brought up.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I really think everyone should watch it for their own opinion.
Yeah.
But it weren't just me, because let's be honest, it's rare when I'm like that, when you're a Batman thing.
Yeah, definitely. So, I'm intrigued by it. Second survey throughout, your gaming method of choice, is it PlayStation, Xbox, handheld device, or do you play on PC, Steam?
I love how Nintendo's not consideration.
Four choices.
No one plays Nintendo, apparently. Yeah. But you went for handheld device ahead of Nintendo.
Well, I meant like DS, PS Vita.
Yeah, but like, there's more than four options if you include the entirety of
gaming. If you really wanted to break it down, he could, but he was limited.
Yeah,
you
know, it's a tough one.
I mean, if you'd have gone
for a while,
what's your console of choice? You could have done four easy.
Because I wanted to include PC in there. Because I was reading a thing on Reddit where everyone was saying PC was the master race and PCs are the best. And I thought, okay, consoles over PC. And just chucked handheld device as a... You're not bothered about any of them.
You could have gone, what's your preferred method of gaming? Where you could have gone console, handheld device, PC.
We could do another survey.
I don't want to criticise your survey making. I'm just saying.
You called him lackluster, he's going to be on your case.
He is, he's on it. This is it.
Lackluster survey. That's all I'm saying.
PlayStation came out on top with 67. Xbox came out with 11, handheld device 11%, and PC Steam 11%.
I'm not surprised by those figures. I'm a PlayStation guy out of all that. Although I do like a good DS thing, but I need the game to inspire me to pick it up, or else it rots in my cupboard.
Yeah.
But in terms of casual,
so basically play, whenever Pokemon comes out.
Yeah. I'm new playing Majora's Mask a bit and Smash Bros, but yeah, you're not wrong.
We got a 3-word review. Muthwich Caniv, M3JCMV, Sausage Party, best character, Gum, 7 out of 10.
I'll watch it eventually. I've
seen good things.
I've seen rap-verse films.
Oh, wap wap
wap. Sorry, was that a tedious link?
It's a meaty pocket. I'm going to stop. Galactic Champ Paul at Y2 Stump said, Stranger Things is a perfect marriage of Stephen King and Steven Spielberg and loved every second of it.
They
it was
should get married.
So spot on 80s, I couldn't help but feel like a kid again.
That makes me really want to watch it, actually.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. We had a little conversation about it and I said that sums up exactly pretty much how I felt with all my 80s movies.
I mean, every man and the dog are recommending it to me at the minute, but they're all consistently saying the same things, and they're like weird buzzwords to great. We go, oh, really? Really? So I will. It's just, I fight my Netflix. I borrow my brother's Netflix, and I don't have it at the minute, so I need to actually get it or work out what's happening. But it's going to be my first thing when I do.
Do it. 8 episodes, well worth it. Rebecca at Arbitrary Genius is watching The Get Down, which I had to look up. It's a musical drama set in the 70s in the Bronx, and it's Baz Luhrmann's involved, so I'm sold. Yeah, sounds brilliant. She said working bank holiday Sunday, Monday. Boo. Also might finish AVX on Marvel Unlimited. I don't know what AVX is.
Avengers
10.
Or Avengers vs X-Men.
Ooh. Which one would you prefer?
That was a thing for
a bit.
Were
they both actual things?
They were at war for a bit in the comics. I can't remember why. Something to do with mutants or not enough mutants or protecting mutants. What mutiny?
Okay.
There was a mutiny.
Mutant.
Marvellous.
We got some thoughts on The Tick. The pilot episode is up on Amazon to be feasted upon and voted upon in their sort of... Here's a load of pilot episodes. Which one's going to stick? Muthridge at MTJCMV watched The Tick and is excited. He saw the pilot. But El Troubadork, which I love. That's a great name. At Nerd_Church, watched the sneak peek scene with the explosion in the warehouse. None of it felt right. I didn't understand what I was watching. Even the audio, his voice seemed really, seemed dubbed. And Muthridge said, yeah, the scene where Arthur meets the Tick is what got me from there. It's just fun. So, divided opinions.
But I want the Tick to be goofy stupid.
But by all accounts, it's not.
I don't know. Yeah. I'll give it a chance. Maybe it'll tick all the boxes.
We'll see. I'm yet to watch it. Pays at Paisy Bones.
Paisy peasy boozy peasy peasy peasy.
Oh, did he die there?
No, the guy singing the song did.
Oh.
Does that mean it'll never happen again?
No, we hire a new guy.
No replacement.
Do we do that every time? Yeah, do they all die? They all die. Meet a horrible end all the time.
We don't hear it all the time.
Listening to the latest was great. Lots of reading of my tweets. 7.9 out of 10.
Now I'm not going to buy to your obvious joke there. It's funny. But I'm still mad about 5.9 out of 10, that Facebook guy. But I wanna know, so we're only an 8. That's what you're saying.
We've got not even room to work. We've got more to do. That's fine. We can't be perfect, Scott.
Can be perfect, and I demonstrate it.
We've already established you're a bit lackluster, so.
Only in Steve's eyes, his horribly judgmental eyes.
For that brief moment in time.
I should do my 3-word reviews.
Go ahead,
do
by
it.
All means.
Go for it.
Three films from last week when we did recommend Decommend. The Look of Silence, which I decommended reluctantly, didn't get decommended, which I'm glad about. This Horrible World, 7 out of 10.
Sounded good. But...
The Fundamentals of Caring, Paul Rudd, 8 out of 10. Almost too sentimental.
Almost.
I get that. Almost. But 8, it's...
And Room, 8 out of 10, the one I recommended, won the recommend. Larson deserved Oscar. I believe she got the Oscar for it. But yeah.
She was brilliant.
She was brilliant.
I've used
much,
my one.
Not much room for improvement.
Ah, I used my one. Why not?
Blew it early. Do you only have one?
I only won a show and I blew it to it. I'd used it on that. Yeah.
Really?
I try and sneak one
have
in.
Have I ignored that? I
try and
show?
Try
and become desensitized.
Try and get it.
It
in every. All right. Once a show.
I never knew that. Is the only thing you try to get in every show, Andrew?
Just my penis.
Yeah. I see why we're 7.9.
At Xavier Verrill, Xavier Vera Lanez, minimalist horror movie posters. They are awesome. Check them out and check out his website.
Oh, is that the one with Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah.
I saw that, yeah.
They're fantastic. Check out his Twitter to follow a link to his website. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant work going on there. But the horror movie posters are spot on. Brilliant. And at Medius Comics, go and check them out. We reviewed Paper Cuts and Ink Stains Volume 1 a couple of weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Weeks ago now. And yeah, check them out. Follow them. Get their comics. They're great. We'll be talking to Rob from Medius soon, hopefully.
Is his name Robin Rob?
Robin Rob.
Robin Jones.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I don't know why I kept getting that confused.
I know. God.
Just use his full name.
Yeah. And lastly, Room 173 at What Is 173. I once asked my cereal which podcast to listen to. All it got me was Static.
Just wanted to put a quick follow recommendation out to everyone. At a Swift creation, it's Andrew Swift creation, he makes replicas of horror things, he's just started a Twitter up, he's very talented. We've given some of his stuff away before on Weekly Geek Speak, Deadpool Mask I think was the one. Yeah, do give him a follow, boost him there because he does some really interesting work. It's worth looking at if you're a horror fan, especially if you like Friday the 13th, I've got three of his masks on my wall, I've got paintings.
Oh, is that him?
He's a very, very talented guy, a Swift creation. Or a Swift creation at a Swift creation, so do follow that. That's it, that's our podcast.
We're done.
We'll be back next week. Please do follow us at Weekly Geek Speak on Twitter, on facebook.com/Weekly Geek Speak. If you enjoyed the show, please do review, rate, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, and Podcastland. And we'll be back next week with more.